But obviously, that's a season that I think is important for you to keep in mind as we come to the end of the summer here, in terms of your learning. And it's something that relates to the Parshas HaShavua as well, the Parshas Ekev. Is there a full Shas here, by chance? No. Looking for Gemara Brachos. Okay. Okay, we'll see. I'll have to take my word for it. In this week's Seder, Parshas Ekev, the Torah tells us, presents a famous pasuk that we quote all the time, which is a source for Brichas HaMozen in the Torah. Right, V'achalta, V'savato, V'erachto, V'shalkecha, V'atadova, Shanasamloch. It's right by Shani, if you paid attention to Elena this morning. And we know from that pasuk, which we quote in benching, that there's a requirement to bench, V'achalta, V'savato, to eat, you're satiated. Exactly what that means, satiated, that's a discussion, but the person eats, he's full, and he's required to bench, V'achalta, V'savato, V'erachto, V'shalkecha, V'atadova, Hashanasamloch. Okay, that's the mocker for the mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon. As many know, Birchas HaMazon is the one and only bracha that everybody agrees is d'oraisa. We don't really assume that bracha is a d'rabbanan. Even the mitzvah may be d'oraisa. It's the bracha on anochas tefillin, the bracha on tekiyah shofar. Anytime you make a bracha, the bracha is usually d'rabbanan. The one and only exception, according to everybody, is Birchas HaMazon. There's some who say, I don't know, another possible, some who say Birchas HaTorah. There's some who say that Birchas HaTorah Ramban writes that Birchas HaTorah is also d'oraisa. So Birchas HaTorah may be the rice as well. Others disagree. The Rambam doesn't seem to say like that. But in any event, Birchas HaMazon, everyone agrees. Well, you can't change the words of the pasuk. V'chalta, v'savata, v'erachta. You have to say a bracha. Okay. The Gemara in Brachas, about Memches, is one about Memzayin, about Memches, the seventh parak of Brachas, discusses the Birchas HaMazon. So that's what we're talking about, Zimun. And the Gemara has a drush. The Gemara breaks up the pasuk. V'chalta, v'savata, v'erachta, es Hashem HaKecha, Arts, from every phrase, the Gemara learns another thing. The Gemara says, first we learn that there's a mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon. Right? Barachta is a Birchas HaMazon. Es Hashem HaKecha, so the way we have it in the Gemara says, that teaches us about Zimun. When you have three people, you have to bench the Mezumin. 10 people, you have a bigger Mezumin. You add extra words, Elokeinu, and so on, right? And then, Ala Oretz, Zu Birchas Oretz. Hatova is Birchas Bonim Shalayim. The Gemara has a drush from each phrase in that pasuk. And the Gemara says, from there we learn, we have to say several brachas by benching. And that includes the bracha of Birchas HaMazon, the bracha on food. Also the Zimun. It strikes us, as B'ar Gro points out there in the Gemara, it's a little out of order. Because first you have Zimun, so the first phrase should be Zimun. The second phrase should be, benching, the bracha of Birchas HaMazon, the bracha of Azon, and then Birchas HaAretz. Okay, so the Gemara says a mistake in the text. He fixes the text. Others disagree. Others say, no, the text is correct, whatever. That's not our issue now. But from the words, Al HaAretz, we learn that there's such a concept called Birchas HaAretz. That's the second bracha of benching, which is all about Eretz Yisrael. No go l'chal shon al shon kal v'senu. Eretz chem v'tor v'chava. Okay, it talks about the beauty, the breadth of Eretz Yisrael, and so on. And it ends, Baruchat Hashem, al ha'aretz, v'al ha'mozom. Right? So the bracha, the second bracha of benching, is called the Birchas HaAretz. It talks about the Eretz Yisrael. And we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only for the Mazon, the first bracha is on food. Hazonas on clothes, etc. Bracha Hashem. Hazonas HaKol. That's providing food. The second bracha focuses on Eretz Yisrael and ends Bracha Hashem Ala Aretz. Ala Mazon. The third bracha is about Yerushalayim. That's not for us right now. That's the sugya and brachas, again, implying that it's Midoraisa. Again, Birchas HaMazon is Midoraisa. And the Doraisa obligation includes not only thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the food, but for the Aretz, for Eretz Yisrael, and for Yerushalayim again, which is another discussion. Now, earlier on that same daf in Brachas, the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu was misaking. Moshe Rabbeinu instituted the bracha of Birchas HaMazon, the bracha of Azon, and we know when? The Gemara says when the mon began to fall, the time the mon began to fall, so Moshe instituted the Shmir bracha called Birchas HaZon. The Birchas HaAretz, I don't know what the Gemara says, instituted the Birchas HaAretz? No, that's the third bracha. Birchas HaAretz was Yoshua at the time when, you can guess the rest, right, when they came into Eretz Yisrael and they conquered Eretz Yisrael. So he instituted another bracha about Eretz Yisrael. The bracha of Bonim Yerushalayim was David and Shlomo. David and Yerushalayim and Malchus Beis David and Mikdash and so on, David and Shlomo. The fourth bracha, the Gemara says, instituted later on at the time of, and we know by the Haruge Beitar. I don't know what that's about, Beitar. It's, you know where Beitar is? Not that far from me. Huh? The Gemara tells us, Tisha B'Av, right? Huh?
It's where he's very fast in Tisha B'Av.
Right, so some people learn about what happened in Beitar. In Tisha B'Av, many Jews were slaughtered, And the Romans didn't permit the Jews to bury the body for 7 years. It's kind of a whole story. Eventually, they buried the bodies, and it was an ace that the bodies, A, didn't decompose.
And didn't smell.
And B, they were eventually buried. So we have a bracha of Hatovah Meitiv. That's the fourth bracha of benching. What that is with benching, we'll think about it's another occasion. But that's Midrabbanan. We assume the fourth bracha is Midrabbanan. That's why, by the way, we end. And here's Sfardi. Here's Sfardi. So we end the bracha, even Ashkenaz, and end bracha. We answer Amen to our own bracha. Bonei Barachem Yerushalayim, Amen. Or Bonei Shalom. Try to do the same thing by Meir, right? Shomer Yisraelad, Amen. Right? So, what's the idea of answering Amen? Because that sort of serves as that bracha, Shomer Yisraelad, and Meir, why do you say Amen after that bracha? Because what follows, I'll say it anyway, but many in Chutzot, many of us say another bracha, bracha Shalom, Amen, Amen. Right, many shall say that, but that's not really part of Birchas Shema. Shomer Yisraelad, Amen. That's the end of the Birchas Kriyas Shema. So we answer Amen in the Birchas Hamazon also, Brachas Shem Barei Barachmah Rishalayim, Amen. Amen is the end of the Brachas of the Raisa. The next Bracha, Brachas Roshamayim Mokhama, Kelavina, Makhena, etc., etc., that's me, the Rabbana. Okay, anyway, but Lamaisa comes out, let's go back to the Birchas Haaretz, that's what I'm talking about here. The Birchas Haaretz is a concept of the Raisa, it's instituted by Yeshua at the time when the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael, and that's part of the Raisa obligation of Birchas Hamazon to thank a Kodesh Baruch Hu for Eretz Yisrael. Okay, very good. Now, it's interesting because, you know, one can ask. I mean, it's a very nice idea to thank a Kaddish Baruch Hu for Eretz Yisrael. What's it got to do with benching? And, you know, we can put a bracha in the Shema Esrei or something. I don't know. Why do we have a Birchas Haaretz, okay, which is praising Eretz Yisrael? Eretz, Chemda, Tov, Rechava, and so on. Why do we have a bracha praising Eretz Yisrael and benching? I mean, it's, again, I'm not taking away from the bracha. But what the Birchas Hamazon, you think you had a delicious meal? I don't know how the food is here, but a delicious meal, right? But, okay, maybe on your off Shabbos you had a delicious meal, or maybe Shabbos delicious, whatever. But after you had a delicious meal, you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for food. I mean, Eretz Yisrael, I mean, you know. So it's very, very interesting. The one answer may be, okay, but, you know, the Jews are living in Eretz Yisrael, so where does the food come from? The food comes out of the ground, right? So you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that in an agricultural sense. Right, you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the fruits and the vegetables and the things that come out of the ground. Even the animals don't come out of the ground, but the animals eat what grows out of the ground. The animals are nourished by what comes out of the ground. Okay, so you see, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the arts, and in the broader sense, that makes sense. We mentioned that as well. It could be. It makes a lot of sense. But I think there is something deeper, and that is that there is something about Eretz Yisrael that was worthwhile mentioning in benching. We'll have to figure out what that is. Well, what is it about Eretz Yisrael that's worth mentioning in benching? It's interesting that actually there's a very fascinating comment that the Medrash makes, the Medrash Tanchuma, not in this sedge, the Medrash Tanchuma is in Parshas Masay. Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Masay makes a fascinating comment. The Medrash says that of all the brachas, could mean all the brachas in the world, but at least all the brachas in benching, this is the most chaviv bracha. The Birchas Haaretz is the most beloved bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there is. Birchas Chaviv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Interesting. That's the one HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves best. That's, it says I mentioned Chumash Parashas Masa. I think it's Simon Rav. You can look it up. It says the most beautiful. I'm sorry, I don't have, usually I like to read out of text, but you know, I thought it was a different base magic. But anyway, it doesn't matter. You'll take my word for it. You can look it up later. But bottom line, this is the most chavit bracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves this bracha very much. So the question is why? I mean, again, what's so significant about it? And again, why does it connect to benching? Other than, again, the agricultural sense, the food comes out of the ground. In fact, as was mentioned, the Bach raises the kasha, the Bach in Hichlus Birchas Hamazon raises the question, it's comment on a tour, he asks, well, the truth is, the Birchas Haaretz should be first. Because we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the food, first thank him for the source of the food. Should the Birchas Haaretz come first? Okay, now we can add, having read that Medrash Tanchuma that I just mentioned, if the most beloved bracha should be first, right? That's the most beloved bracha, it makes sense to say that first. But even without that, even in an agricultural sense, it makes sense to first thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what comes out of the ground, and then thank him for what, for the food. So Bach says, you're right. The technicality. We said before, who instituted the bracha of Azon? Moshe Rabbeinu. Who instituted the bracha of Haaretz? Yeshua. So, chronologically, happens to be the Moshe instituted the bracha first. So we follow the chronological order and not the thematic order, not the importance order, not the belovedness order. Right? But the Bach says fundamentally, in a certain sense, the Brichas Arot should come first, just that Moshe Rabbeinu came before Yoshua, obviously. But Moshe Rabbeinu instituted the Bracha of Brichas Hazon before Yoshua instituted the Bracha of Brichas Arot. So Mela, we say first the Brichas Arot, and then we say the Brichas, first say the Brichas Hazon, and then we say the Brichas Arot. But again, in a certain sense, the Brichas Arot is this Bracha that has this unusual quality to it, this beautiful Bracha. We need to understand what that's about. In fact, the Gemara makes a statement, the fascinating thing, the Gemara says, whoever did not say Eretz Chemda Tov Rechava is not Yotzei Bencha. You omitted that line. Now, it's hard for us to imagine. Omitted. We have a, right here, this is what I call a bencher. So in the bencher, does it actually have a bencher in here? I don't know. But the benchers have, I mean, we bench out of a bencher, we know about it, it's hard to imagine missing it. But maybe at one time it didn't have people that print the text and so on. If a person omits that phrase, you're not Yotzei Bencha, the Gemara says. Matter of fact, the Gemara also says you omit Torah from that bracha. Right? Because the Gemara says we also, in that bracha, also have to mention Alei Eretz Yisrael. We have to say Eretz Chena Tovah Rechava, which we do, based on that's a pasuk in Yom Yom. We also have to mention Torah, which we do, right? Al Torah Scha, Shalim Aratonu. Bahokeh Shatonu, that's Torah, right? We also have to mention Bris, Val Brischa, Shechasam Tivisarenu. So all of that is actually incorporated into that bracha, right? Let's think the bracha through again, together. No Dolachar Shemokin, Al Shemokin, Al Shemokin, Al Shemokin, Al right, so we mention these other themes in that bracha as well. Now, again, it ends with Eretz, right? It begins, Eretz, and ends, you know, quoting that pasuk from this morning's laning, or from this week's laning, etc. So now we've expanded the theme of that bracha, goes beyond Eretz and includes Torah and Bris and Eretz, oh, beauty of the Eretz, the breadth, the beauty, the charm, the wonder of the land, Eretz and Bris and Torah. We've expanded this bracha, which the Medrash Tanchum, as I said before, calls the Me'ula, the most beloved possible bracha. There is another suggestion that some make as to why this bracha is so important and why it connects to benching. And that is actually based upon a pasuk later in this week's Seder. There's a beautiful pasuk later in this week's Seder, which has nothing to do with benching. It's not talking about benching. Okay, the bracha is talking, it's a pasuk later in the Chumash, which says about Eretz Yisrael, it speaks about the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. It says, you should know this is a beautiful land, and it says, Eretz, Tomid Einet Hashem Al-Kachabah, Mereisha son of Arachishon. I'm not talking about Shishi itself in Eker. It says, Eretz Asher Eine, Tomid Eine Hashem Elokecha. The eyes of Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, are upon this land. May Reishis Hashanah from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Kadosh Baruch Hu has a special vision, a special way of looking at this land. And in fact, what does that mean? The Gemara tells us, Chazal tell us, that all of the rest of the world is sustained via Eretz Yisrael. Okay? The whole world is Nizon through Eretz Yisrael, because this is the land which Tomid Einei Hashem Elokechabo. The eyes of Kadosh Baruch Hu always watching over this land, and through that there is sustenance to the rest of the world. Memela, even if I'm living in, I live in New Jersey. Even if I'm living in New Jersey, I'm going back in a few days to wherever you live in America. Okay, so you're eating over there. So what am I saying? A bracha of Eretz Yisrael. It's a big bracha. Thank. Okay, good. We got Eretz Yisrael out of my stomach there. But what's it got to do with now? Right, the answer is because even the food that I have in America, or wherever it was imported from, okay, whatever food that I have, also came via Eretz Yisrael, according to Chazal. So that is another connection between the Eretz and benching, okay, in that whatever we have that we're sustained by, wherever we happen to be, somehow it's channeled through our Kodesh Baruch Hu, by our Kodesh Baruch Hu, through Eretz Yisrael. Some explain it's like a pipe. You know, Kodesh Baruch Hu, showers down his bracha to Eretz Yisrael, and a pipeline, so Eretz Yisrael that, you know, somehow extend to the rest of the world. But everything flows through Eretz, all bracha flows through Eretz. So that's how the Chazal learned from this pasuk in Eikev. Tomid Einei Hashem Elokecha, son of Arachishon. The Vilna-Gaon points out something else. And that is, you know, it's interesting that he suggests that when the Torah uses the word Eretz, stam, without mentioning another name, that's Eretz Yisrael. Okay, to reference Eretz Yisrael, he's discussing, actually, in the Shnos Eleos, commenting on the Mishnah, he discusses a different Mishnah, but he discusses, you know, he said, how come when we make a bracha, you know, when we make a bracha on vegetables, let's say we say Borei Pri Hadama, right, the fruit of the earth, for the land, and yet by Motzi, we say, Amotzi Lechem Min Aretz. Why do we say, I want to say Min Hadama, is that Min Hadama? I want to say Borei Pri Aretz, right, not a bad question, So it's something to ponder. So what the Gaon suggests is that adama means land in general. And wherever you're eating, so you have land, whatever land produces produces vegetables and so on. But the ikar sustenance of a person is bread. Okay, the ikar sustenance of a person is bread. The ikar sustenance comes to Eretz Yisrael. Stam Eretz refers to Eretz Yisrael. Even if the bread that I bake, or the wheat that I made the bread out of, was made in New Jersey or in Kansas or wherever, okay, in the Midwest somewhere, doesn't matter, it's still channeled through Eretz Yisrael. In other words, I say Amotzi Lechem, when it comes to Lechem, other fruits, I just say Adama, it's down the land, wherever it may be. But the Iker sustenance, we focus on Eretz Yisrael. And again, in the benching, that goes back to the Pasuk again, the Pasuk, again, famous Pasuk from this week's Seder, right before the Pasuk of Echad, that speaks of Eretz Yisrael, Eretz, Chito, Sora, right, it mentions the Shiva Minim, you know what I'm talking about, right? Mentions all the Shiva Minim. And again, Eretz, Asher, Lo, Biskos, Toch, Abba, Eretz, Asher, Abba, Eretz, Tam, Eretz means Eretz Yisrael. So everything comes to Eretz Yisrael. And the question now becomes again, we want to look at again, is what's this, the emphasis on Eretz Yisrael. I gave you a few answers, all that flows to Eretz Yisrael, all the brachas come to Eretz Yisrael, but still, there's obviously something more to it, that this bracha is considered such a beloved bracha in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Evidently, there's something about Eretz Yisrael that maybe we don't appreciate, even when we're here, and we should appreciate it, especially we're leaving a couple of days. First of all, I'm going to ask a question. I'm also leaving. What are you leaving on? Sunday night, right? Okay, so I'm leaving. I'm staying a few more days. I'm leaving Wednesday night. So, are you allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael? Are we allowed to leave? I don't want to get anyone in trouble with your parents. Are you allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael?
It's Kibbutz Avim.
Yeah, right. So that's a question. When is a conflict between Kibbutz Avim and the Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael? That's an interesting question. What are you doing as a conflict? The Torah has a conflict. The Torah suggests that Avraham Avinu left to go to Eretz Yisrael, left Lecha, even though Terach, he left him behind. Passing the end of Parshas Noach, and remember, it says that Terach died. Right, then that's the end of Terach, and then we go on to Lech Lecha. But if you do the years, figure out the years, Terach had not yet died by the time Avraham left. That's an interesting question. But conflict, the shift a different time. What is the conflict? But Stam, are you allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael? Let's say that no problem, you're allowed to leave. Remember Megillas Rus, we read on Shavuos, the second day of Shavuos, so many people were awake. Okay, by Megillas Rus, how did it start off? Remember, by Elech Ish, Mibayis Lechem Yehuda. Okay, what did he do? Remember his name? Elam Shemo Ish, Elam Elach, and so on. He went and he left Eretz Yisrael, right? And what happened to him in Chutz Eretz?
He died.
Vayomer Selim Elach Yino, Yan Machon Chlin also died, right? So the Gemara says, Baba Basra, the Gemara says, yeah, he died because he left Eretz Yisrael. He went away from Eretz Yisrael. He robbed Eretz, Vayelach Yish, Vayelach Yehuda, you know, and he left. He left Eretz Yisrael. So many of the Rishon, what do you mean? Avraham Avinu also left Eretz Yisrael to go to Mitzrayim when there's a famine. At the time of famine, you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. What was the time against Selim Elach? He left because there was no food, right? So he left. Avraham left. Yaakov Avinu left. No, Hashem told them, right? Yaakov and all the brothers went down to Mitzrayim. When they heard that there was food there, they realized it was Yosef who was in charge. And the food, they're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. What was the time in Elamelech? Yeah?
Wasn't it because you didn't want to deal with the community anymore?
Oh, so there's another source. The Rashi quotes there. The name of the Medrash Rashi, in the beginning of Megillas Rus, says he didn't want to help others. He was a very wealthy man. And he realized that there was going to come, you know, people were going to be out of food. And he had a lot of stuff that would bang on his door. Like we have, I don't know where you guys live, but, you know, I have every Sunday afternoon. People bang on the door, collecting stucker for one thing or another, for himself, usually. And, you know, we don't even bother with that. So he left. Okay, but the truth is, the Gemara says because he left Eretz Yisrael. So you have to figure out. And again, we can ask the question, according to that Gemara, are we allowed to leave? I'm in Eretz Yisrael. Am I allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael? Well, then I got in big trouble believing Eretz Yisrael. He died because he left Eretz Yisrael. How can I always leave? So I think to answer all of these kashas, to put all this together, we can suggest a certain mahalach. And understand the importance of Eretz Yisrael in general and in benching and connect it to our Limud HaTorah, to our bris, and so on. One thing the food does, okay, you take a bite, a piece of bread, a piece of meat, a hot dog, an apple, whatever you're eating. And what happens? It's broken down in your body and it sustains your entire body. Even though it ends up in your throat and in your stomach, but it doesn't only just satiate your stomach, right? It's broken down into, I just studied biology, whatever, you know, broken down into sugars and glucose, whatever else, and it spreads through the body, right? And that's what it does. I remember, you know, when I was a little kid, I'm sure somebody had this experience also. You know, your ear hurt, or your stomach hurt, they gave you a pill. What's that got to do with it? It's probably my ear. So you should put it in my ear, right? I mean, why put the pill in the mouth? The answer is, because whatever the pill does, you know, the body processes it, and it'll help your ear also, right? So the body breaks things down. And ultimately, why does it work like that? Why does that work? Why does it work? And medically, why does it work? Because your body is a single unit. Your body is a single unit. Even though it has different parts, and Lori Kizekirizet, different parts of the body do different things. But Tov Kosov, if your body, because Hashem is working properly, so the body is one unit. So even though I may have a headache, okay, my head is killing me, but I take two Advil or whatever, and I swallow it, it goes out of my stomach, it alleviates the pressure in the head. Right? I'm far from a scientist, but I'm just saying, basically it breaks down because the body processes and the body works together. Okay, Rachmon Otzan, when somebody is sick and there's a disconnect in his parts, you can have problems with one part of the body doesn't work as a unit. That's one of the problems. Rachmon Otzan, so there's a stroke, that's one of the problems. The body doesn't, the parts of the brain don't work together and so on. So this is an issue, but when a person is healthy, the body works as a unit. Body works as a unit. And so when we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for food, we thank him, we have food. What are we thanking him for? For the fact that I was able to eat something and I'm full now. Not only am I full, I'm satiated and my body's going to break down. It's going to do what it has to do. And it helps my bones become strong. It helps me grow. And whatever it's supposed to do. It gives me energy and gives me strength and whatever the food's supposed to do. Okay, I mean, healthy. You know, I mean, but the body works as a unit. Eretz Yisrael is a place where Klal Yisrael is supposed to work as a unit also. Klal Yisrael, Jewish people, are supposed to work as a unit also. There are many, many different parts. And not every part is the same. Not every person acts the same, looks the same, behaves the same, does the same. But as a people, we work together as a unit. And really, there's no real place that we have that sort of unity as in Eretz Yisrael. It's the way things should be. You know, there's a concept in Halacha called Arvos. Arvos. Or Arvos Klal Yisrael, Aravim. So it's interesting, and sometimes in elementary school they have that on the wall in the hallway, these nice posters with different Mamari Chazal, right? So that's one of them. Every Jew is kind of, okay, so Arabim Zevazet. That's a halachic concept. That's a halachic concept. Where do we know Arvus and Halacha? Do we know? Where do we see Arvus and Halacha? Yeah. Exactly. If you can motzi somebody else, in many circumstances, in a mitzvah, you yourself are yotzi. Afa bishayotza, motzi. What Gemara did they do on this?
No.
Or learned it since this. Yeah. But, so I don't remember if it comes up there, but a number of times in the Gemara, it's a Mishnah Rosh Hashanah actually, it says, Afo, call it school, Afo Shiyotza Motzi. Every time, anytime, by all the mitzvahs in the Torah, once you've, even though you're Yotze yourself, you've done the mitzvah, I'm done. I can Motzi somebody else. Sometimes it comes with Kiddush. No, sometimes you went to shul with Kiddush. Your father was in Kiddush or whatever. You went to shul, you had Kiddush. And you have to make Kiddush to somebody else at home already. Right? Even though you don't say Kiddush already, you can make Kiddush to somebody else. You make a, right? Many, many mitzvahs you can do for someone. Not all their rules, but without the details now. But that works based on the principle of Arvos. Because what is an Orev in Halacha? Okay, an Orev actually has its roots in Dine Mamonis, monetary law. Orev in monetary law is a guarantor. A guarantor. Let's say I go to the bank. And I asked the bank, you know, for, I need $10 million. I want to have a loan for $10 million. So the bank's only going to lend me $10 million if they're pretty sure that what? I'm going to be able to pay back. So they're going to look at me, and they see, oh, you're working in the yeshiva. They're never going to get the $10 million back. Okay, they're never going to give me a $10 million loan. It'd be crazy. I wouldn't give me $10 million either. How am I going to pay it back? But if I have somebody with me who's a well-known billionaire, and it just happens, let's say, that I know... I don't know, Warren Buffett, whatever, you know, I come into the bank with him, and he's willing to sign on, then they'll give me the money. Why? He's the guarantor, because then if Talbot defaults on the loan, they can always go to whoever I brought as my guarantor, and all right, that's a concept in business law a lot of times in American law, so they want to have some kind of guarantor on the loan, so people put their company, sometimes people put up their house against the loan, mortgaging and so on. I don't go into the details now, but that's a halakhic concept of an Orev means he guarantees. So I guarantee that maybe this guy can't afford it, but they know me, and I'm a big shot in the community, and everyone knows I have a lot of money, so I can be the guarantor. That's an Orev. So the lender knows that in case the borrower defaults on the loan, he won't pay up. Yeah, he comes back to, sorry, I also, you know, I can't pay back. Okay, but they can go back to the other guy, and the other guy will have to pay by the Orev will have to pay. Now, they're dealing how it works, and how the kingdom works, not for now, but that's a concept of Orev. Well, in mitzvahs, it's a similar thing. Okay, in a certain sense, you said it right. Part of I have an obligation. What do you mean? I already made Kiddush. The answer is there's another Jew that hadn't made Kiddush. I can help him. So I'm sort of his guy. That's what it means. Call Yisrael, Arev him, Zelazeh. Every Jew is an Arev, a guarantor. So now it's Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to me. Oh, you can help him. You got to help him. Right? I mean, I'm oversimplifying. But that's the idea. So that I can make a bracha. When did anyone know when the concept of arvus took effect? Aloha. You know when it did not take effect at Matan Torah. It took effect by the bris of our grizim and our evil. Not that when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they just, you know, the bris of our grizim and our started with Moshe Rabbeinu, the Tochacha, and the end of Kisavo. Right? Remember the six tribes went up one mountain. It was described. It didn't happen yet. It happened in the Sefer Yeshua. But the six tribes went up. We're going to go up to one mountain. Six tribes. They're going to answer. That was an answer. Amen. So that was the Krisis bris. It was started by Moshe, but was completed in Eretz Yisrael by Yeshua, and it's recorded in Sefer Yeshua. That lahalacha is when the principle of arvus went into effect. Arvus went into effect. Why couldn't it go into effect right at the time of Matan Torah? The explanation is because until you had a land, you're not a real people. Until you have your own land, until you have your own eretz that you can identify with, you're not a nation. The concept of arvus only works if there's a connection. Okay, if I go to the bank and tell them, you know, I want $10 million. And by the way, if you can't collect, go ask whoever. Go ask Donald Trump. Go ask Warren Buffett or somebody. So they're going to say, well, what connection is there between you? Why would they possibly pay to cover your deficit? And the answer is they won't. This only works if what? If we're connected. I bring some, I have a relative, an uncle, rich uncle, something, we have a connection. Within Klal Yisrael, everybody's connected. But that connection as a nation took effect only once you had a homeland. Lahavdil, just as a side point, which recently they changed the doctrine, but you know, for all the years that we didn't have our own homeland, okay, after we were driven out, it's one of the things that the Christians always claimed about the Jews, was, oh, they had no homeland, and that's why, because they didn't accept, you know, our religion and so on, so they were doomed to wander the face of the world, the world, go to this country, to the other country, get kicked out over here, go over there, get kicked out over there, go over here, right, until we had our own land. The establishment of our own land in Eretz Yisrael in 1948, the Jewish sovereignty, I'm not talking about politics now, but Jewish sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael, which we established in 1948, okay, that was a major theological problem for the church. Not our topic right now, but a major, major theological problem. Okay, because part of the doctrine was the Jews are supposed to wander, never have their own land. All of a sudden they had their own land. It's a major theological problem. Okay, it took a while for any of the popes to come visit, an official visit to the state of Israel. Okay, side point. But in halacha, the concept of arvus takes effect, goes into effect when the Jewish people become a nation. So now, what is Eretz Yisrael then? Eretz Yisrael is the place that unites the Jews as a nation and establishes a connection. Now, through what is the connection? Through Torah. Right? It's through Torah. The Torah binds, you know, the Torah is the source of the bris, okay? And, you know, again, the bris milah represents by great, by extension, also a connection. I'm going to go into that end of it now. But Torah is what binds every Jew to every other Jew. Okay? We all have the same Torah. And by the way, as a side point, if you ever think about it for a moment, I point this out many times, you know, it's an interesting thing. The very same Torah is studied by the greatest Talmud Chacham, the greatest, opens up, everyone's reading this week, Parshas Eker. Everyone follows. And the exact same words are read by the biggest Talmud Chacham to the beginner, you know, in the kindergarten. Same text, the same words. Think about it for a moment now in another area, any other piece of literature, okay, or any other discipline. Imagine when you're in the first grade, okay, when you're in the first grade, you get a book, I don't know, Dr. Seuss, okay? One Fish, Two Fish, whatever, okay, well, in a book. We got a book about how to be a fireman, you know, that's shaped in the book. It looks like a fireman's hat, right? Opened up. That's when you first learn how to read, right? There's three words on a page, okay, or five words on a page, in big print, and that's how you read. And now imagine if you go to a graduate school course in English literature and they hand out a Dr. Seuss book. It would never happen, right? Because you're not going to read the same thing in a graduate course. They're there, you're going to read Shakespeare, you're going to read whatever. You're going to read works of literature. You're not going to read the same text as you read in kindergarten. Right? I mean, right? Am I right or wrong? Right? Anything like that. You don't read the same text in kindergarten, you read in graduate school. Otherwise, you know, it's not a good graduate school. But in Torah, is that phenomenal? The same text. So a first grader reads Bereishis Bara Elokim HaGadol HaDor, reads the same exact. Now, of course, there's a world of difference in terms of our understanding. Okay. But the actual text is the same. So the Torah text binds every single Jew to every other Jew. The Torah text, which is the same text. And by the way, you know, even throughout, it's interesting to point that out, even throughout all the Golas, right now, our Sifrei Torah, even in Sephardi, there's only one despite the fact that Jews were all over the place and scattered around, the text of the Torah is the same everywhere. One question, in Parshas Kisetze, there's a word, Pitzua Daka. Pitzua Daka means a person who has a certain type of injury, and so on. So Pitzua Daka is an injury to his male sexual organ, so he can't marry into Jews, whatever, but into Jewish people, he can't marry a regular Jewish wife. It says Pitzua Daka. So Daka is a question. Daka is spelled Dalet Kaf Aleph or Dalet Kaf Hey. The best of my knowledge, it's really the only current difference between the Sfardis is, I think the Sfardim spelled Hey, the Ashkenazim spelled Aleph. The only difference, it doesn't change anything. Right? It's phenomenal to think of that when Jews have been all over. You find the Jewish Sefer Torah in South America and another one in North Africa, where it's exactly the same. All the Sefer Torah are the same. Now, full disclosure, the Gemara talks, there's certain, Gevega has a list, and Shabbos has certain words, but all the distinctions, you spell it with a vav, you spell it without a vav, right? And the word olam is with a vav or without a vav. Right? And then in terms of meaning, there's absolutely no difference. Remarkable. But in any event, the Torah is what binds all of Christ all together. Okay? Eretz Yisrael, as I said before, the Prince of Arvos takes over, goes into effect when they became a nation. And when is that? When they came to Eretz Yisrael. Not Mamre Har Sinai. That was only step one. They became a nation at, it's true that in Mamre Har Sinai, Ke'ish Echad, B'Lev Echad, it's all good. But ultimately, the halachic status didn't go into effect of Arvos. The halachic didn't go into effect when they came to Eretz Yisrael. So now, you see that Eretz Yisrael and Torah, what that does is it binds every Jew to every other Jew. And that's the relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Okay, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks for in terms of Klal Yisrael. So now you can see, perhaps, a connection between food, which sustains the individual body on a personal level. You eat something, like I said before, the food that you eat now is broken down by your body that's working properly, and it nourishes you and gives you strength and whatever else it's supposed to give you. Okay? That's on the personal level. On the national level, what infuses this sense of being one, right? Like the body, your individual body, my individual body is one. On the national level, what infuses is Torah and Eretz Yisrael. And that's why the Brichas Ha'aretz is part of benching. Because it's the nourishment, it's the food, so to speak, on the national level. So therefore, when we bench, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what we eat, and what sustained us on a personal level, we also move to the next point, and say, what is it that sustains us or makes us a people on the national level? And that's Eretz. That's Eretz Yisrael. Okay, nothing like Eretz Yisrael. Now we'll come back to our friend, or the gentleman, Elimelech, who left Eretz Yisrael. We're all leaving Eretz Yisrael. We're all going to violate an Aveira. When's your flight? Sunday night. Right? You're all going to violate an Aveira Sunday night. I'm going back next Wednesday night, Thursday, whenever it is. Okay, am I violating an Aveira? He did. The Gemara says he got in trouble because he left Eretz Yisrael. I think you have to put the two. The reason you said, which Rashi quotes, and the reason I said, which the Gemara said, and Rashi got it from the Medrash, you have to put the reasons together. Okay? Either you have to be in Eretz Yisrael, and that's what binds you. Even if you leave Eretz Yisrael, even if you go away from Eretz Yisrael, you can still be bound, okay, to Klal Yisrael through Torah and through a relationship with other Jews. Okay? Elimelech was two strikes, and that's all he got. He left Eretz Yisrael physically, and he cut himself off from the rest of Klal Yisrael. And he demonstrated that his leaving Eretz Yisrael is a breaking away from this nation. Okay, and that's what led to the trouble for him. You see, if you leave Eretz Yisrael, I leave Eretz Yisrael, and we're sad about leaving Eretz Yisrael, we have reasons we have to go back. Okay, all the reasons, school, whatever else, parents, everything we have to go back. But I maintain it, first of all, a connection mentally to Eretz Yisrael. But as important, or more importantly, I still view my Torah as binding me to all the rest of the Jews, including the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. So then I'm not violating that same Aveira. Then I'm not repeating the mistake of Elimelech. I'm connected still. I'm still part of that body. Okay? And our other rayas, and the Rav Shechta ones, when I say how really it's only the Jews of Eretz Yisrael, it's written in the same, really only the Jews of Eretz Yisrael are considered part of, you know, the Jewish nation and so on, but we're connected by extension. So even though I'm going back to Chutz Aretz, and you are and I am, we go back to Chutz Aretz, but through Torah, we maintain a connection to Eretz Yisrael and a connection to the Jews of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore we're not repeating the mistake of Elimelech. Okay, you put all this together, this is something we think about during benching. We should think about it during benching. So the two brachas of benching, another time we'll have to talk about where Yerushalayim and the Mikdash fit, and all you can see probably on your own where it will go, okay, because that's what really binds us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the first two brachas of benching are a bracha of Hazan, that my physical needs, and now my body serving as a function as one unit. Thank Kodesh Baruch Hu for that, the food. And now, I don't call it quite my spiritual needs, or in a certain sense, that's what it is, but it's binding me to the rest of Klal Yisrael, my national needs. Okay, and that's why the Birchas Haaretz comes in. And that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu, perhaps that Medrash and Parshas Maaseh, considers the bracha of Birchas Haaretz to be the most chavid of all brachas, because that's what binds his people together. That's what that's what connects all of us, and through Torah, again, bris by extension. And that's why the discussion. Okay, it's really machlokes Rishonim. The Gemara says that whoever doesn't mention bris and Torah and so on, brichas hamazon, is not yotzei the brichas hamazon deraisa. It's a question whether that really means the tour, if you want to look it up, the tour in Hilchos brichas hamazon quotes machlokes, he has a brother, Rabbeinu Yechiel. The tour's name is Rabbeinu Yaakov, okay, Ben Rabbeinu Usher, the Rosh. In the back of the Gemara was written by the father of the tour, some of you know. Right? So his name is Rabbeinu Now the Rosh's name was Rabbeinu Usher Ben Yechiel. So Rabbeinu Usher Ben Yechiel, the Rosh, had several sons. One was called Rabbeinu Yaakov, known as the Baal HaTorah, and one was called Rabbeinu Yechiel, I guess named after his father, or whatever. But sometimes the Torah quotes his brother Rabbeinu Yechiel, and another brother quotes Rabbeinu Yehuda, sometimes he quotes Rabbeinu Yechiel and disagrees with him. Okay, disagrees with him, and this is one of the cases. Here, does he mean, does the Gemara mean literally, Imam Mishnah Yotze Benshim? Or it's just the Chatchila, it's proper to make every effort, or it's not, then it doesn't really, that's the question of how the Rambam, because you have to look carefully in the word of the Rambam, it's unclear that Beis Yosef learned the Rambam one way, others learned the Rambam a different way. But okay, be that as it may, so that's a question where the Gemara means literally. But L'chatchila, certainly you have to insert those phrases, those words, because that's the essence of Brichas HaMazon. If you only thank a Kodesh Baruch Hu for your physical, it's important. There's a curse of Tov and all that, but you're missing part of benching. Now we pull it around. Why Eretz Yisrael? Because again, the pasuk later in Parsha Akev, Eretz Asher. Okay, so I conclude by sharing with you one other idea that relates to that phrase, which is not really connected to benching, but I think it's a beautiful pshat, which I heard in the name of the previous couple times of Satmaro, who said as follows. I'm going to now say the words of that pasuk more slowly, and this also hopefully will be mechazik you as you go back. You know, beginning a new school year, and Rosh Hashanah is in a month, and so on. You know, you want to go in with a positive attitude. So it's interesting. The pasuk says, "Tomid ein Hashem al kechabo me reishis hashana, bad achris shana." That's the phrase. Me reishis hashana, bad achris shana. What should it say? Mereshis Hashana, God, Hashris Hashana. Let's be consistent. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Why did it say Mereshis Hashana, Bar Achris Shana? So Zamarov said, Al Derech, Jewish. He said, because when you come to the beginning of a year, Rosh Hashanah, right? Beginning of the school year, we're all excited. We're all psyched. Let's remember back when you were elementary school. You got new pencil cases and new tape and new magic markers and new loose leaves and papers. And, right? Remember the first day of school? You come out. I mean, as a parent, it was a nightmare. The week before school, you had to go and the lists had to buy this and pens and markers and, all the kids and books. But they go that first day, they're all excited. All excited. They were coming, everything's neat, right? The first day of school was neat. I don't know anybody here how long the neatness lasted. I had one son, we'd go back to school night, meet the teachers, back to school night. It'd be like the third night of school. And that the way where his yeshiva town or his elementary school, you sat in the child's desk. That's where you sat in the room. And the third day of school, open the desk, a mess. The papers and God, how could it be? You're only here 3 days. How you make such a big mess? But at least the first day of school was neat. And some kids, neat the whole year. But every year at the beginning, and the same thing is true, by the way, we get up on Rosh Hashanah. We say, this is Rosh Hashanah. This is going to be the year. This is it. It's going to be different, right? And we go in optimistically at the beginning of every new year, whether it's new year in school, new year at job, new year at, Rosh Hashanah, and we have an optimistic point, and we say, this is going to be the year. This is going to be the year that I'm careful about, more careful about mitzvahs, and more careful about kaviyat and matara, and more careful about Yerushalayim, and more careful about brachas, and more careful about davening, and all the things we think about, right? That's the beginning of the year. Mereshis Hashanah. Sadly, what ends up happening most of the time, by the end of the year, it's not Achris Hashanah. It was Achris Shana. It was just another year. It was just another year. The year's almost over. So, you know, you got to position yourself at the beginning of the year to make it Hashanah. You want the end to be Hashanah, but he said, realistically, it's not always like that. Realistically, many of us, by the time we come to the end of the year, all many of the things that we hoped and promised didn't always come true. By those who daven Musaf Sfarad, in Kedusha on Musaf on Shabbos, have the following phrase. By Hu Yashmienu Baracham of Shenis, Lein Kol Chai, Lein Mor. What does it say? You say it? Yes, the other phrase. Hein Goalti. I don't know. Doesn't that? Right? Hein Goalti Eschem Achis Kereshis Leos Achamokim. Hein Goalti Eschem. That's a, maybe it's only the Chassidish on the subscribe that says that. I'm not sure. Okay, it could be. But the Chassidish on the subscribe says, right? You went to my Hein Goalti Eschem Achis. Look it up in the Nusuf slide. It says, Hein Goalti Eschem Achis Kereshis. You know what that means? He suggests something wrong. You know when the Gula will come? Hein Goalti Eschem Achis Kereshis. When the Achris is like the Rashis, when we've been successful at the end of the year in making the Achris like the Rashis, having the same excitement, the same enthusiasm at the end of the year that we had at the beginning of the year, then it's time for Gula. Baruch Hashem, you spent 6 weeks, whatever exactly it was, learning here. It's quite an end to a year. I was discussing something before. You know, I have a relationship with this call going back a long, long time. Not because a lot of boys are in the area, but also because the NCSY Kola used to be, before they came here to Beit Meir, it used to be in Efrat. I don't know if I even know my older siblings that I went to, no. It used to be in Efrat, and in the early, early years, I used to come for a few weeks to give shiurim. For whatever reason, I'm not able to come now. But it's a wonderful way to end the year. A wonderful way to end the year. You come to the Achris Hashanah. Okay, you just have it, you go home in a few weeks, start school and this and that. Achris Kereshis. I don't know if everybody had it, but we have it. So hopefully, we maintain that same excitement, the same enthusiasm at the end of the year that we have at the beginning of the year. And to put it together to what we said before, if that's what Eretz Yisrael, if Eretz Yisrael is the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches Reishis, Ka'achris, Achris, Ka'reishis, and so on, Reish HaShana, Ve'arachris HaShana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a relation with Eretz Yisrael, we should make every effort when we go back in a few days, okay, after I'm sure be a wonderful Shabbos here, we go back in a few days, we'll say, you know, we ended the year, we're going to maintain a connection to Eretz Yisrael. We're going to make a connection certainly to our Torah, to Torah's Eretz Yisrael, the Torah that we learned here, and also to the people that we interacted with here. I'll have that, and hopefully that'll bring us to a Gula as speedily as possible. Thank you for listening. I want to Shabbos, and I appreciate it.